Hello. Here's Marlanka with another episode from Sri Aurobindo's Synthesis of Yoga. One imperishable object of our emotion is the starting point of the yoga. The object of our seeking must be the very fount of the light which is growing in us, the very origin of the force which we are calling to move our members. Our one objective must be the Divine Himself, to whom, knowingly or unknowingly, something always aspires in our secret nature. There must be a large, many-sided, yet single concentration of the thought on the idea, the perception, the vision, the awakening touch, the soul's realization of the one Divine. There must be a flaming concentration of the heart on the seeking of the All and Eternal. And when once we have found Him, a deep plunging and immersion in the possession and ecstasy of the All Beautiful. There must be a strong and immovable concentration of the will on the attainment and fulfillment of all that the Divine is, and a free and plastic opening of it to all that He intends to manifest in us. This is the triple way of the yoga. But on that which as yet we know not, how shall we concentrate? And yet we cannot know the Divine unless we have achieved this concentration of our being upon Him. A concentration which culminates in a living realization and the constant sense of the presence of the One in ourselves and in all of which we are aware, is what we mean in yoga by knowledge and the effort after knowledge. It is not enough to devote ourselves by the reading of scriptures or by the stress of philosophic reasoning to an intellectual understanding of the Divine. For at the end of our long mental labor, we might not know all that has been said of the Eternal, nor possess all that can be thought about the Infinite, and yet we might not know Him at all. This intellectual preparation can indeed be the first stage in a powerful yoga, but it is not indispensable. It is not a step which all need or can be called upon to take. Yoga would be impossible, except for a very few, if the intellectual figure of knowledge arrived at by the speculative or meditative reason were its indispensable condition or a binding preliminary. All that the light from above asks of us, that it may begin its work, is a call from the soul and a sufficient point of support in the mind. This support can be reached through an insistent idea of the Divine in the thought, a corresponding will in the dynamic parts, an aspiration, a faith, a need in the heart. Any one of these may lead or predominate, if all cannot move in unison or in an equal rhythm. The idea may be, and must in the beginning, be inadequate. The aspiration may be narrow, imperfect, the faith poorly illumined or even is not surely founded on the rock of knowledge, fluctuating, uncertain, easily diminished. Often even it may be extinguished and need to be lit again with difficulty, like a torch in a windy pass. But if once there is a resolute self-consecration from deep within, if there is an awakening to the soul's call, these inadequate things can be a sufficient instrument for the Divine purpose. Therefore, the wise have always been unwilling to limit man's avenues towards God. They would not shut against His entry even the narrowest portal, the lowest and darkest postern, the humblest wicket gate. Any name, any form, any symbol, any offering has been held to be sufficient if there is the consecration along with it. For the divine knows himself in the heart of the seeker and accepts the sacrifice. But still, the greater and wider the moving idea force behind the consecration, the better for the seeker. His attainment is likely to be fuller, more ample. If we are to attempt an integral yoga, it will be as well to start with an idea of the divine that is itself integral. There should be an aspiration in the heart, wide enough for a realization without any narrow limits. Not only should we avoid a sectarian religious outlook, but also all one-sided philosophical conceptions which try to shut up the ineffable in a restricting mental formula. The dynamic conception or impelling sense with which our yoga can best set out would be naturally the idea, the sense of a conscious, all-embracing, but all-exceeding, infinite. Our uplook must be to a free, all-powerful, perfect, blissful one and oneness in which all beings move and live and through which all can meet and become one. This eternal will be at once personal and impersonal in his self-revelation and touch upon the soul. He is personal because he is the conscious divine, the infinite person who casts some broken reflection of himself in the myriad divine and undivine personalities of the universe. He is impersonal because he appears to us as an infinite existence, consciousness, and ananda, and because he is the fount, the base, and constituent of all existences and all energies, the very material of our being and mind and life and body, our spirit and our matter. The thought, concentrating on him, must not merely understand in an intellectual form that he exists, or conceive of him as an abstraction, a logical necessity. It must become a seeing thought, able to meet him here as the inhabitant in all, realize him in ourselves, watch and take hold on the movement of his forces. He is the one existence. He is the original and universal delight that constitutes all things and exceeds them. He is the one infinite consciousness that composes all consciousnesses and informs all their movements. He is the one illimitable being who sustains all action and experience. His will guides the evolution of things towards their yet unrealized but inevitable aim and plenitude. To him, the heart can consecrate itself. Approach him as the supreme beloved. Beat and move in him as in a universal sweetness of love and a living sea of delight. For his is the secret joy that supports the soul in all its experiences and maintains even the errant ego in its ordeals and struggles until all sorrow and suffering shall cease. His is the love and the bliss of the infinite divine lover who is drawing all things by their own path towards his happy oneness. On him the will can unalterably fix as the invisible power that guides and fulfills it, and as the source of its strength. In the impersonality, this actuating power is a self-illumined force that contains all results and calmly works until it accomplishes. In the personality, an all-wise and omnipotent master of the yoga whom nothing can prevent from leading it to its goal. This is the faith with which the seeker has to begin his seeking and endeavor. For in all his effort here, but most of all in his effort towards the unseen, mental man must perforce proceed by faith. When the realization comes, the faith divinely fulfilled and completed will be transformed into an eternal flame of knowledge. We shall pause here for today and continue next week with another episode in the Synthesis of Yoga by Sri Aurobindo. Thank you for tuning in to Auroville Radio. May light be in your day. Bye for now.
This is Auroville Radio, voices from the City of Dawn.